Today's Shir's Masechta Shkolim Daf Yud Tes. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amun Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Marsh Shenimtzu Bein Hashkolim L'Nedava. There's money found on the floor between the Shkolim money and the Nedava money. And we don't know from where this money came from. And because we don't know from where this money came from, we don't know where to put it. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Karv l'shkolim, if it's closer to the shkolim, yipalul shkolim. We assume that it came from the shkolim. Karv l'nedava, if it's closer to the nedava, if it's closer to nedava, then the halacha is yipalul nedava, that should be given to the nedava. Mechtzel mechtzel, if it's right in between, yipalul nedava, that should be given to the nedava. It should be given to the nedava. So, in understanding this Mishnah, there's a fundamental discussion. Our Mishnah seems to be saying that when we have two options, on one hand, we could assume that we should follow the Karif, which it's closer to. On the other hand, we should follow what is the Roiv, what is more likely that it came from. Our Mishnah is saying that when we don't have any other option, we assume that it came from the closer. When we don't have that as an option, then as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, the halach is we put it to the one where it's stricter to put it there. And that's why, as we just learned, we said when it's mechza, mechza goes to nedava. We'll explain that halacha more in the Gemara. So the Bat Tanura, in approaching this Gemara, asks a question that throughout Shas, we know that the halach is that whenever we have a situation of roiv karev, when we have these two options and we don't know what to do, should we go with the roiv or should we go with the karev? The halach is that we always go with the roiv. And here, our Gemara is telling us that we should follow the karev. So ask the Bat Tanura, how do we approach that, knowing that that's typically the halacha? So the Bat Tanura answers that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the money in both of these shofaris are equal. And since the money in both of these shofaris are equal, that's why roiv isn't a possibility to follow, because there's no roiv. Both pushkas have the same amount of money. And since both pushkas have the same amount of money, that's why roiv is no longer an option, and that's why Amish the Paskins that we should go with karoiv, because that's what you do when you have no other option. The Tveres Yisrael disagrees. And Tveres Yisrael says that Amish is even referring to a situation where they're not equal, and Amish is Paskining that we follow the karoiv. And this discussion, when we have such a situation where we have the roiv and the karev, and we have now the discussion where we don't know what to do. Should we go? Does it have to be specifically in a case where they both have the same amount, and that's why roiv is not an option? Or is it talking about a situation even where they don't have equal amounts, and we go baser karev, is relevant to a very important discussion. We're going to have later in our Shir Mitzvah Shem the famous case where somebody found a piece of meat in the street and in a town, and this town has 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 non-kosher butcher shop. So the halach is, call the parish, ben meruba parish, whenever we have a question, we go basarayv. And if most of the butcher shops in the town are kosher, we say, call the parish, meruba parish, and we take the assumption that the meat is kosher meat. The question is, what will be, yes, we have 9 kosher butcher shops and 1 non-kosher butcher shop, but the 1 non-kosher butcher shop sells much more meat than the other 9 kosher butcher shops combined. Do we still follow that halacha or not? It's a very big machloikis hachroinim. The opinion of the Beis Meir, the Chavastas, the Knesset Yecheskel, the Noida Behuda, all say, based on the simple reading of the Gemara, this is a case that's often mentioned in Shas. And in all the situations where this Gemara is mentioned in Shas, the Gemara is consistent that we always go Basarayv. In that one of the situations where this was mentioned in Shas, they point out that the Gemara is, that there should be a determination which is more available, kosher or non-kosher meat. The Beis Ephraim, however, and the Chochmas Adam disagree. And they say that our Mishnah is actually a Raya. Because our Mishnah said that when we have money that's found between the Shkolim and the Nadava money, so we go with Karev. But, as we just quoted the Bar Tanura, the Bar Tanura says, the only reason we're going Basa Karev is because the two Pushkas, the two Shoifers, had equal amount of money. But if the two Shoifers did not have equal amount of money, then we wouldn't go with the Karev, we would go with the Raiv. So what do we see from here, they claim? They claim from here we see that we look at the amount. And therefore, if one pushka has more, that's always to be taken into consideration. But as we just said, the Tveres Yisrael disagrees with the Tveres Yisrael disagrees with the Bar Tanura. So we can actually suggest that the machloikas that we had in how to understand the Mishnah really has direct bearing on this machloikas as well. And if we follow the Bar Tanura's opinion in the Mishnah, and we follow the Bar Tanura's opinion in the Mishnah, then we'll paskin like the Chochmas Adam. If we follow, however, the opinion of the Tveres Yisrael, then we should paskin like the Noi de Behuda and the other paskim that say we always follow that we don't look at how much there is. That's not a factor to take into consideration. There's another very serious discussion here in the Paiskim, and that is, why don't we follow the Chazaka? Because, and we'll speak about that later. Then we speak about the next case. When we have money that's found being Eitzim Levana, when money is found between the wood, that was the Shoifer that we discussed, where money for people who want to donate wood is to the Shoifer of Levana. So again, we've asked Karev. Karev le'etzim, yipul le'etzim. If the money's closer to the Eitzim Pushka, we put it to Eitzim. Levana, if it's closer to the Levana Pushka, yipul Levana. Mechtsla mechtsa, yipul Levana. If it's right in between, then we should go to the Levana. Ben kine goizli oyla. Ben kinem le'goizli oyla. If the money was found between the kinim and the goizli oyla, and again, the kinim are the pairs. That's the way we're going to learn our Mishnah. That the pair, where one is a chatos and one is an oyla, and the other one, the goizli oyla, are two birds that are both going to be an oyla. The difference, as we've explained in previous shurim, is as follows. If a person is mechuyiv to bring a carbon, because they were a zav, a yeledes, so they bring two birds, if they can't afford an animal and a bird, echel lechatos vechel le'oyla. One bird is used for carbon chatos, and one bird is used for carbon oyla. If the person donates birds, so you can't, as we've discussed, that we can't, as we discussed previously, donate a bird, donate a chatos, so both birds are carbon oyla. We actually have to be following an opinion that we discussed when we learned earlier, machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, that when they had a pushka in the Beis HaMikdash for Kinim, what were in the Kinim pushka? This Mishnah obviously is following the opinion that the Kinim pushka had a chatas and oyla, the opinion of the Chachamim. Because we learned that the opinion of the Rabbanon, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda was that even the Kinim pushka only had oylas, not chatas in it. But the way to learn the Mishnah is one pushka has chatas and oyla bird money. One pushka has only oyla bird money in it. So says the Mishnah, karv l'kinim yip l'kinim. The money that's found closer to the kinim should be given to the kinim. If the money is karv l'goizli oyla, if it's closer to that pushka, yiplu l'goizli oyla. Mechts l'mechts, if it's right in the middle, yiplu l'goizli oyla, it should fall to the goizli oyla. And again, the reason to understand this is because a chatos is not as serious as an oyla. Because the halacha by chatos, as we've discussed, is that part of the bird is eaten by the kohen, whereas by the oila, the entire bird is burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, if we don't know where to put it, it makes more sense to put it to the oila. Ben chulin l'maisa sheni. When you have two wallets or two drawers with money, one drawer has chulin money in it, and one drawer has maisa sheni on it. So if it's karv l'chulin, yiplu l'chulin. If it's close to maisa sheni, yiplu l'maisa sheni. If it's mechz l'mechz, if it's right in between, yiplu l'maisa sheni, it should fall to maisa sheni. The shalos tshuvas nechlo Yitzchak brings a raya from this Mishnah to a question that what is stronger? Is karav or chazaka stronger? And from here we see that he says that karav is stronger than the chazaka, because every money starts off with a chazaka that it's chulin. Everything starts off with a chazaka that's chulin. Then you could be magdashit and make it into maisa sheni. Yet our Mishnah is paskening that when you have a situation of where you have a question if it's closer to the maisa sheni or it's closer to the if it's closer to the maisa sheni or it's closer to the chulin, we say that if it's closer to the maisa sheni, we establish that it's maisa sheni, and we don't say that it's just that we don't say that the chazaka that originally had that it was chulin is what ought to be followed. And says the Mishnah, Zeh Klal. The Mishnah concludes with summarizing Zeh Klal. This is the rule. Holchanach Karev Lahakol, that we owe, that the first choice that we do is go with Karev. But when we don't have that, when there is no Karev, that even though it represents a kula as we've been learning, but when we don't have Karev as an option, then we follow mechz l'machza. When it's 50-50, then the halacha is that we go l'hachmer. We don't know where to put it. We put it l'hachmer, and we're machmer. Says the Gemara. Our Mishnah said the money that was found between the shkalim and the dava. So the Gemara, before it goes deeper, asks a simple question. How do we have a situation where the money could be between the shkalim and the dava? How can we have such a situation? Asked the Gemara. We learned previously in Perag Vav, Mishnah Halacha Dalet, the shlosh oyster shofers hayve migdush. There were 13 shofers in the Mishnah in the base of Migdash, the Kosovalayim, and then the Mishnah mentioned all of them that were there. And the simple way, to learn the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where they're lined up in a straight line. So if they're lined up in a straight line, asked the Gemara, how can we have a situation that Shkolim and the Dava are right next to each other? Shkolim and the Dava are on two ends of that straight line. So the Gemara's question is, we're discussing a situation where they're put in a straight line. The question is, how could that ever be? Answers the Gemara. It says the Gemara, the Ben Shkalim L'kinim. So if it was put together the way we just said, that they were put in a straight line, if the Gemara wants to speak about a situation, the situation that the Gemara ought to be speaking about is when the money is between the Shkalim and the Kinim. Answers the Gemara, they weren't put in a straight line. Rather, Rav Avin B'Shem Rav Pinchas, the way the money was put, Kimim Buchlia, they were put like a semicircle, K'michlia B'yosin, they were put like a semicircle, and since they were put like a semicircle, so since the Shkolim was the first money, and the Dova was the last money, that's why we're going to be able to have one next to each other. And in fact, I saw a Gevald de Gevart from Rabbi Kivega. He says, if we think about it, when we learned that Mishnah, there were six pushkas that were Nedava. There was one pushka Shkolim. So even going back to what we discussed earlier, that we should take in consideration how much money there was, we shouldn't take in consideration how much money there was. Certainly, he says that six pushkas, Isn't that more likely that the money came from the six pushkas than the money came from the one pushka? So he says, but if you look at it the way we look at it, we shouldn't look at it there. We shouldn't look at it as it was found, as it was six to one. It was one pushka next to the other pushka. And since it's one pushka next to the other pushka, then the halacha is that it's not so obvious that they came from one versus the other. Our Gemara keeps on speaking about Moshe Nimtzu, about money that was found. So, of course, there's a very interesting shaila that I saw that Sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses. He discusses a situation where somebody's walking on the street on Shabbos, and he finds a wallet, an envelope, full of money. And the question is, he knows that somebody must have lost this money. And the question is, should he stand there and watch that money for the entire duration of Shabbos, even though it involves a tremendous bother, a tircha, a lack of Oinik Shabbos, missing Tefillah B'Tzibur, missing Kriyas HaTorah, all to help somebody whose money, who lost his money? We're talking about a situation where we know that the person, we know who lost that money. Or is it better that he should continue doing what he needs to do for Shabbos, like we all have to do what we have to do on Shabbos? So he quotes a story where there was an Adam Gadol who was walking in the street and he found somebody's money. He says it was somebody whose name was Rabbi Lozo Don Yechi, the Rob of the city Lutzin, and he did that. And the reason he did it is because he felt it was a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. He knew that this person who had lost the money was so entirely dependent on that money. And he knew that it was a loan that that person had taken in order to marry off one of his children. And now if that person would lose that, would not have that money, he would not be able to easily survive such a terrible loss. And when it's a question of pikuach nefesh, then the halacha is that the halacha is that you're allowed to do it, even though it involves such a tremendous bother and tremendous lack of being able to observe Shabbos that nobody would normally be able to deal with. And in fact, he quotes a Gemara Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Tezayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara says, Dorish Rav Pinchas Bar Chama, Kosh Anis B'Toch Beisah Shel Adam, somebody suffering poverty, Yoyser M'Chamisha Makas, it's worse than getting a tremendous amount of Makos. So we see how far of a problem it is. And then he quotes a Ramban. He says the Torah, Kedosha, tells us a story with Yosef and his brothers. And the Pasuk says, the people saw they were brought to the home of Yosef. And they said, the reason we're being brought here is because the money that was found in our knapsack. They were worried about the money. So if they're worried that we're going to be taken lavodim, asked the Ramban, what are they worried about chamareinu? That's their worry, that they're going to take away, they're going to confiscate the donkeys. We're worrying about a situation that they're going to be taken for avodim. So he says, the Ramban says, sometimes a person is put into a situation where it's a shiloh of sakana. If he's going to lose his money, he may look at it as a situation of pikuach nefesh. And therefore, even though the other option is that he's going to be in our eved, being losing all your money may be worse. Then he quotes a Mishnah Berurah, Bi'ur Halacha, in Siman Reish Samech Vav Sif Yud Gimel Divrei Maskil Asur. He says that the Mishnah Berurah discusses that if under such circumstances a person may be, even though of course money is muksa, and the question is, maybe under such circumstances, the person should be able to pick up the muksa. It's not poshut. It's not in any way obvious that that would be the halacha, that somebody under these circumstances may pick up the muksa. But what is quite clear from that discussion is that, again, even though when we learned Masechta Shabbos, we learned how serious we have to treat muksa. Here, where it's a question of sakonas tefashis, where a person's losing his money, everything may be different. So we learned the Mishnah, mechza, mechza. If the money is found between two piles, between the shkolim pile and the dover pile, and it's equally equidistant to both of them, we learned yiplu and dover. So the question is that why do we go over here that way? Why do we say that Nedova, we've been learning throughout our Mishnah, that when we don't know what to do, we go where it's Chomer? Why is Nedova considered more Chomer than Shkolim? Answers the Gemara, it's the Boy Memer. One answer that's offered, Shema Yipul Shiare Lishka. As we've learned so many times in our Masechta, the Aloch is that not necessarily is all the money that's donated to the Machsa Shekel going to be used for the Machsa Shekel. They may end up not being used, and they may end up being the Shiare Lishka. And since that's a possibility, and the Shiare Lishka are less significant, the Shiare Lishka are used to repair the walls of Yerushalayim, not as significant as the Nedava, which is used for carbon oil. That's why it makes more sense to put the money in the Nedava Pushka. This to buy Meimer, another way of explaining the Mishnah, why the Mishnah says when it's between the Shkolim and the Nedava, it should be put into Nedava. Mechza la mechza, when we have a situation where the money is right in between, we don't know what to do, it's treated like the situation, Kamisha Meis, that the halacha is that if somebody designated money for the Machza Shekel, and before the money could be actually used for the Machza Shekel, he passed away. The halacha is, because as we've learned, Amar Rav Yosef ad Anataman, while I was still in Bavel, Shemes called Rabbi Yehuda. I heard Rabbi Yehuda Shishol Shmuel that he asked Shmuel, Hifr Shikli Mesa, somebody designated money for the Machza Shekel and he died. What is the halacha? And Amalei, he said, the halacha is Yiplu Nedava. So therefore, here too, since we don't know what to do with the money, the halacha is it should be go to the Nedava. So the question is, what is the comparison between our situation where the money, we don't know from which pushka the money fell out, to a situation where somebody designated money for the Machza Shekel, but before he could actually deliver it, he passed away. So I saw that the Har Ephraim asked this question, and he says that he doesn't really know the comparison. But again, the simple pshat is when we don't know what to do with the money, then we don't put it into the Machza Shekel. Maisa, says the Gemara, Maisa Seir Seifer Shaloi. The halach is that every day, as we're going to be learning, the Kohen Gadol had to bring a Korban Mincha out of an Asiris and Eifa. Machtzisa Baboika, Machtzisa Ben Abayim. Half was brought in the morning, half was brought in the afternoon. What happens if the Kohen put away money for that purpose, and then he put away more than he needed? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yelichem Yam HaMelech, that money should be put into the Yam HaMelech. Rabbi Lezer Omer Yiplu Nedava. Rabbi Lezer says it should be put into the Nedava Pushka. So I saw the Brisker Rav asks, why can't you bring it tomorrow? The halacha is that if somebody designated animals for Karmel Chatos on Yontif and he didn't need them, the halacha is that you use it for the next yontif. So here too, if the Kohen designated money for the Siris Eifa and he didn't need it, he had more than he needed, why don't we say that it should be put away for the tomorrow? So he says, there's a rule. Kol dovah shebechoiva ein abo ela min achulin. Something that you're obligated to bring, the money that you have to use that for that to fulfill that obligation is chulin money. And here, the Kohen Gadol is obligated to bring every day a Korban Mincha from the Siris HaEifa. Since he's obligated to bring every day a Korban from the Siris HaEifa, then he can't use today's money, the money that's not chulin anymore, for that purpose. So we learned in our Mishnah that if the money was found between Kinim and Goyzle Oila, and it's equidistant, we learned it should follow for Goyzle Oila. But ask the Gemara Kasha, V'yesh chatas kreva oila, how could this be an option? The chatas oif and the oila oif are very different kabbanis, and the procedure followed in bringing these kabbanis is a very different procedure. The chatas, the dam is spritzed on the bottom half of the mizbeach. The oila is spritzed on the upper half of the mizbeach. So the Gemara's question is, when the money is found between the chatas and the oila, the kinim and the oila, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, and with equidistance, were machmer and treated as an oila. But at reality, this money may be chatas money. And if it's chatas money, I'm bringing this carbon in an improper manner. Answers the Gemara, Chizki b'shem Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Tanai bezenhu, ala moise shikrav oilas. When somebody puts money in the pushka, it was understood that if the money will, if this type of situation that we are discussing were to develop, that money will become oila money. And since there's such a Tanai Bezdin, we don't have to worry if it's brought as an oila. But ask the Gemara, but now we have a different issue. We've learned that who brought a pair of birds, a chatas and oila? A woman who's a zava, yoledis, etc. Such a woman may not eat kachim until her kabbanis are brought. Since she may not eat kachim until our kabbanis are brought. So now, yes, we said there's a Tanai Bezdin, that the money somehow automatically transfers into being an oila. But this woman is mechuyva karmachatas. And until the karmachatas is brought on her behalf, she can't eat kachim. So how do we deal with that? Heisha zois, b'mahi miskaperis. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Tanai Bezdin hi, that a mesapik is a kinim, a mesapik is a psulus. There was a person who, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, was in charge of all the pushkas. And part of his job in being in charge of all the pushkas is that every night they used to do a reckoning. They used to sit down and figure out how much money was brought, because everybody who brought money got a ticket. They had that system. And they knew how many chatas were supposed to be brought and how many chatas were actually brought. And if at the end of the day, we see that there were tickets for 10 chatas, but there were only 9 chatas brought, the halacha is that this person who's in charge of this whole administration in the base of Mikdash would have to pay for an extra chatas. And I saw that even though he had to pay for an extra chatas, the Batanura says that kamchatas, even though, as we said earlier in our shir, normally kamchatas is eaten, this kamchatas may not be eaten because we don't know for sure what really did or didn't happen here. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah mentions number of situations where money was found and we don't know what to do. The Leitzricha would ask the Gemara, shouldn't the Mishnah also mention Ben Oil Eitzim or Lilvan Elzava Kaparis? Why didn't the Mishnah mention what would be the halacha when the money was found between those pushkas? Answers the Gemara, because Tanisa B'Saifa, because we learned at the end of the Mishnah, Zeh Klal, the Mishnah gave us a rule, Hoyochanacha Akarav, Mechzel Mechzel Hachmer, that we always go with the pushka that's closer, and if we don't find money that's closer, then the halacha is, then if the equidistance, we go to L'Chochmer. So all the cases that we mentioned that are already covered. And since all the cases that we mentioned are already covered, there is no need to mention every case individually. Says the Mishnah, Marsh Nimtzu Lufnei Socher Behema. If money was found in front of people who sell animals in Yerushalayim, we don't know what money that is. Is it regular chula money or is it Maisa Sheni money? And of course, Maisa Sheni money comes with restrictions. Says the Mishnah, L'Oilam Maisa, we treat that money L'Maisa Sheni. Because most people who eat meat in Yerushalayim, even all year round, comes from Maisa Sheni. Because as we've learned in previous shurim, every Jew had to designate Maisa Sheni in the first and the second and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. It was a trouble to actually bring that produce up and eat it itself in Yerushalayim. So they used to redeem it on money. And they brought the money and buy food in Yerushalayim. But most of the money, Maisa Sheni money, was used to buy carbon shlomim. Now, what happens is, a person comes to Yerushalayim,
and he, Baruch Hashem, has a lot of Maaseh Sheni money, and he brings as many Karmen Shlomim as he needs, as he could eat. And now he's going back home, but he can't take the money back home with him. So he gives it to other people in Yerushalayim to use as Maaseh Sheni money. So the abundance of meat that was sold, the abundance of animals that was sold in Yerushalayim, we could assume was for Maaseh Sheni money. However, if money is found in Har HaBayis, there we could assume the money is chulin, because the money in the Har HaBayis, the money in the Trumas HaLishka, as the Gemara is going to say, that the money they took out from Trumas HaLishka, they always redeemed and made it into chulin. And therefore, we could assume that most money that's found in Yerushalayim, in the Har HaBayis is chulin. Yerushalayim, if money was found in Yerushalayim, not in front of the stores where they sold animals, all year round, we could assume it's chulin, because that's the money that most people have. B'shas HaRegel, however, yont of time, we have to assume that it's maisa. So our Mishnah said that if there's money that fell in front of the soichre behema, we could assume that it's maisa money. But Rashi in Masechta Pesachim, where this Gemara is quoted as well, asks a question. On one hand, we're saying that the customers have Maaseh Sheni money, but the seller has not Maaseh Sheni money, because he gives an animal and the money that he gets in exchange becomes chulin. So why isn't it 50-50? So Rashi explains that since it's 50-50, we have to be machmer. But Tosfos asks, why do we say it's 50-50? On one hand, we have the seller who has chulin money. On the other hand, says Tosfos, we have the buyer who has Maaseh Sheni money. And even the buyers don't only have, asks Tosfos, Maaseh Sheni money. The buyers also have chulin money. So why don't we connect that to our discussion? And if we'll connect that to our discussion, asks Tosfos, so then we'll have roiv chulin. So Tosfos says, since most of the people standing there are many customers standing in front of one seller. And as the Mishnah just explained, as we just explained the Mishnah, most of the people who are standing there have Maaseh Sheni money. So then it's the roiv Maaseh Sheni money. And therefore, since it's roiv Maaseh Sheni money, that's what we should look at. We learned furthermore that the money that's found in the Har HaBayis is chulin. But the question is, Tosfos asks, how could there be money found on the Har HaBayis? The halacha is that osli kodesh la Har HaBayis, but ma'asa tzurus lo b'sadinoi. You weren't allowed to walk up to the Har HaBayis with money. So Tosfos answers that the issa to go to the Har HaBayis with money is only when the money is visible. But when the money is not visible, when you're keeping your money in your pocket, then there is no issa of going to the Har HaBayis with money. Basish nimtza b'azara, meat that's found in the Azara. So if it's cut up in Avorim in large chunks, we should assume that it's oilus, that it's oil money. But if it's cut, because since, as we learned, the oil is completely consumed on the Zbeach, they didn't cut it up in sizes that they should be edible. But if it's cut up to smaller pieces, then we could assume it's a chatos, because the chatos, as we learned, the meat is eaten by the Kohanim in the Azara. Birushalayim, meat that's found in Yerushalayim outside the Azara, we treat it like Zivchei Shlomim. Actually, when we have this discussion, as we're going to discuss in the coming Shurim, there's one factor that the Mishnah is not taking into consideration. And that is the factor of Bosh Nesal Manayim. When we lose control of meat, the Aloch is we're not allowed to eat that meat. That isn't the discussion in our Mishnah. Zev is Zev. Both in all of these situations, whether we identify that the meat should be considered oil meat or chattas meat or shlomim meat, the halacha is we may not eat it because there was hesach hadas. We weren't constantly thinking about this meat. And wherever the halacha is, the hesach hadas, we have to wait tu b'tzrosoi. We learned two pshatim in tu b'tzrosoi when we learned Masechta Pesachim. One is we wait overnight that it should become nicer. Another pshat is we let it spoil, and then v'yetz l'beis esreifa. The halacha of ibetzura says, some explain that it has to be that it gets spoiled. So as long as time it means to get spoiled, that's how long I have to wait. If the halacha means that it should be nicer, then we would have to wait 2 days. Because as we just learned, it may be a kavan shlamim, and a kavan shlamim doesn't become nicer until the third day. Bas nitzav begvulim, a meat is found in the gvulim, a varim, if they're large chunks of meat. So nobody who's going to eat meat would cut meat into large chunks. So therefore, we have to assume that it's nevelis. If, however, it's cut lechatichis, if it's cut to smaller pieces, so that's a raya that it's not a nevela and it's mutaris. V'shas regal, but yont of time, where habasim ruba, there's so much meat available, and because there's so much meat available, people do not necessarily have the opportunity to cut the meat into small chunks. So there, halacha is af avrim, even when they're large chunks, we the mataris. So of course, I saw the mafarshim ask that why should I not be concerned that this meat is meat that was there from before Yontif, and meat before Yontif, when it's in large chunks, we always assume that it's a nevela. So I saw that they used to change the meat on a regular basis, and since we change the meat on a regular basis, and it's also noticeable, I saw the Achronim say, if the meat is new or old, so that's why we could be lenient. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah spoke about Ma'al Shanimtsu, that money is found in front of the Seichri Behema, in front of the animal merchants. We have to assume that it's Meiser. If it's money that's found in Harabayis, then it's Chulin. Ask the Ma'al Tzricha Deloi B'Harabayis Kodesh. Didn't the Tana have to teach us that the money that's found in the Harabayis is Kodesh? The Mishnah taught us at the beginning of the Shia today, well, we don't know the status of something, we have to be machmer. So why here too, when money is found on the Harabayis, are we not machmer and have to be concerned that maybe the money belongs to Hegdish? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abba, Rav Chiya b'Shem Rav Yochanan, we have to be concerned. However, that maybe the money came from the Lishka. But, Chazaka, She'en HaKoyim Moitzim Nalishka Mos Ad M'chalon HaBehema. Any money that they took out from the Harabayis, they used to redeem before they actually used. And since all that money was redeemed before it was actually used, so even if the money originated in the Lishka, now it's not considered Kodesh anymore, and that's why we could be more lenient. We learned in the Mishnah that if Basar was found in the Azara, if it's large chunks, we have to assume it's a carbon oila. If it's small pieces of meat, it's chattas. And Rishlayim, we assume it's a zichay shlamim. And in all circumstances, the halacha is that it should have ubetzura and then be burnt. When we learned Masechta Pesachim, Daf Lamed Daled, the Gemara had a discussion about Hesach Hadas. What is that if we lose control, if we lose Hesach Hadas on a piece of meat, what is the status of that meat? And we had a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's a psul tama. The Chazal said that maybe while you were Masiach Das, the meat was touched by tama, and I'm not aware of it. Now, psul tama is not an inherent psul. It's a suffix. I don't know what happened to the meat while it was not being watched. That is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Rish Lakish's opinion, however, was that it's a psul aguf, that it's inherent psul. The Chazal said that kachim have to be constantly under shmira, and if something happened that shmira stopped, then the halacha is that meat becomes psul. Now, if we'll say that it's a psul tuma, it's a psul because we don't know what the status of that meat is. We could understand the psak of our Mishnah that says that you need to do ibatsura. Because I can't be certain that it's possible. And because we can't be certain that it's possible, we have to be machmer and wait till it has ibatsura. But ask the Gemara if we follow the opinion of Reish Lakish that it's considered possible, it's a psul aguf, so why is ibatsura required? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar b'shem Rabbi Yosha, his seed of das, if you have meat that has hesach das, ton ibet surah, then it's a situation of suffik, and therefore, since it's a situation of suffik, we can't just burn it immediately. We have to wait till it has ibet surah. Amar Rabbi Yosha, and Rabbi Yosha says, that's what our Mishnah said. Masnisa Amar Kain, because our Mishnah just said, tu bet surasa, and then v'yetze lebeis hasreifa. Amar Rabbi Yosi, v'yos, is this correct? Says the Gemara, ochloi ein atiyochol, you can't eat, the issue is not hasachadas, the chiyuv sreifa is for a different entire reason. Lochloi ein atiyochol, you can't eat it, shemen neskalkala tzorosoi. We don't know anything about this meat. And because we don't know about anything about this meat, we have to be concerned that maybe it's a suffix. Lefum came tzorch meimer, because of that we have to be machmer, that tubitz rosa v'yetzel beis esreifa. In other words, he's saying that truthfully he agrees that his siach das is considered a psula guf. But here we don't even know if that's the case. And because we know nothing about this meat, that's what halacha is, that we require ibetzura. And again, I saw the Shalos Tshuvos Chacham Tzvi, Simen Mem, says that the discussion in our Gemara is not being allowed to eat the meat. Under no circumstances would be allowed to eat the meat, because there's a problem of Bosesh Nes'alem Menam Ayin. Here, the issue is a different issue. The issue here is, Nevela is Metama. And the question is, Noiser is Metama. And the question is, should we treat it like Nevela and Noiser, which are Metama, or we don't treat it that way? So we learned further in our Mishnah, Nimtza b'gvulin, when the money meat is found not in the Beis HaMikdash, if it's Avarim, it's Nevelis, if it's Chatichas, Mataris. Rav Kisba, Hashem, Rav Yosef, Rechanina, Avarim, Nevelis, when we said that if it's Avarim, we treat it like Nevelis, it's in a very serious manner, to the degree that Elokin Aleim Mishum Nevela, that somebody would get Malkus if he ate that meat. It's not just considered a Suffolk Nevela. He says it's considered full-fledged Nevela to the degree that if you ate that, you would be chayiv for Nevela. Says the Gemara, Mesnes Amar Kain. Isn't that exactly what our Mishnah said? Our Mishnah says, Averim Nevelis, V'chatichas Mataris. When the Mishnah says, Chatichas Mataris, Loi Mamish. Doesn't it mean that it's mamish mutter? So similarly, the kavasa, the corresponding case, when we said a veris on the velus, it must be the loikin lemeshun nevela. Rav Chris b'shem b'yosef b'yehuda, imayu mechorozes, if we have the pieces of meat tied together, so the fact that they were tied together shows that there was somebody taking care of this meat. If it's nevela meat, nobody's going to really bother with it because it needs to be discarded anyway. The fact that it was tied together, it doesn't make a difference how we find it. Then we could be lenient and it's mataris, because otherwise, why would he have gone to the bother of tying them together? So the Braisa mentions the case that we spoke about at the beginning of the shiur. Teisha chanuyos b'yichus b'as nevela. If there are 9 stores that sell non-kosher meat, and achras ma'isa b'as shchuta, and 1 store buys, sells kosher meat. And he went into one of the stores to buy meat, but he doesn't know, he forgot which store he went into. The halacha is, choshish, we have to, even though most of the stores are kosher meat shops, we have to be machmer. Why do we have to be machmer? Because it's a kavua. Each store is firmly in its place. And the halacha is, the kol kavua, whenever we have such a situation, kemechza mechza dami. If the meat is found in the street, we follow the roiv, and since roiv of the stores are non-kosher, we have to establish that this meat is non-kosher. However, a situation of 9 kosher meat shops, and again, the same situation where somebody doesn't know which store he went into, even though most of the stores are kosher, he has to be chayshish. He has to be concerned because the halach is kol kavua amechza amechza dami. When it's nimtzas, when the meat is found in the street, then we go roiv. And since most of the meat stores are kosher, we could treat this meat as kosher meat. Amar Rav Yochanan, hanimtza b'yad nachri, meat that's found in the hands of a nachri, k'may nimtza b'platya. it's like found in the street, and most of the stores sell if most of the stores sell kosher meat, we could assume that the Nachri bought this meat in a kosher, that the Nachri bought this meat in a kosher meat shop. So the Shulchan Aruch says that it's not under all circumstances that that's the case. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, and Chosh Mishnah Paskins, that if two people left meat by one person, and then that meat was stolen, we go basarov, and we say, call the parish, Mirova parish, vim kuvua, kamechza mechzadami. So Shulchan Aruch says that we even follow these rules, lakula. And that's, in our Gemara, we see that as well, that these rules are to be followed, both lakula and lachumra. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer, Berabchagi have a masmachu Ramona. Rabbi Lezer Berabchagi was walking and leaning on Ramona. Chom al chad Ramoy, he saw one Nachri, Bekatei Mitzusei, he was taking a piece of meat from his horse, or Mapik Lebra, and he was taking it to the street, he was taking it out to sell. Amalei, so Rabbi Lezer said to Ramona, Chadehi, Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Hanimtsu Biyad Nachri, Kanimtsu Biflatya. Now, could you still feel that the psak that you gave, that meat that's found in the street, the meat that's found by a Nachri is found like in the street, here we see that the Nachrim take horse meat. Amalei, Ken Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rebbe, Vehein Shorah Esuyotz Mekulam Shisrael. This that we were lenient with a Nachri when we find meat by him is only when we saw that the Nachri was walking out of a Jewish butcher shop. But we have no reason to assume that the Nachri is buying meat in the kosher butcher shop, we indeed have to be machmer. Chabba Nash B'Tzipurin, there was a person, Tzipuri, Ozel Boy Mizma Kupin Metavcha. He went to buy meat from the butcher. V'loyavle, he refused to sell him. Amalei Chad Rimoy V'Aisalei. So he asked the Nachri to please buy for him meat. Amalei Nasivis Al-Karchei. So now the Nachri went and bought the meat, and now he went back to the butcher and said, you see, I got my hands on meat anyway. Amalei. So he said to V'la Basin Nevela Yavislei, I gave the Nachri non-kosher meat, and therefore, don't think you outsmarted me. You actually ended up eating non-kosher meat. Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Chanina, ma'asibal ofnei Rabbi. There was meat that came. There was a question that came to Rabbi with meat that was found in the hands of a Nachri, even though we saw the Nachri walking out of a kosher butcher shop. V'am like loy kol menei, you don't have the right meisim akulin tzipurim to say that all meat that's found in a town that's mostly kosher butcher shops is non-kosher. We said the nimtzah, the meat is found, holchen achar roiv, called the parish, meruba parish.